Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Are you ready for the word? All right. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We will be there in just a moment. The title of my message today is Try It Again. Try it again. Not try it again. Go ahead, try it again. No, not that one. It's try it again. It's an encouragement to try it again. You know, that's one of the attributes that that God shows us, one of His strengths. And it could become one of your superpowers, the ability to try it again. You see, you are either coming from your greatest day, you're at your greatest day, or you're headed to your greatest day. And the truth is, it is up to you. That's reality. One of the saddest things that I have ever seen in my life is to see a person who has no hope for the future, who gets up in the morning and has no hope. It can be devastating. It can be debilitating to have a dream and to see that dream die. If you've ever experienced the death of a dream, then you know how devastating it can be. But even more devastating is to lose the ability to dream again, to lose the ability to hope, and to have the ability to try it again. Many times, people allow failure to determine their future. Many times there's such a bad taste, such a bad experience happens in people in life, and they just don't have the energy, they don't have the desire, they don't have the will, they just don't have the strength to try it again. You know, a difficult past will either be the grave that you are buried in, or it will be the university that you graduate from. One or the other. I made that up just for you last night, okay? A difficult past, having a bad experience, having a traumatic experience will either be the grave that you are buried in or the university that you graduate from. It will all be determined by your next decision. You know, success for you will require a next step. God demands that we participate in our miracles. You know, Henry Ford, who was the founder of Ford Motor Company, do you know that he failed at every early attempt to go into business? In fact, do you know that Henry Ford went broke 5 times? And then he finally succeeded in marketing America's early American motor car. There was a man named R.H. Macy. You may have seen the Macy's Day Parade, the Thanksgiving Day Parade in front of Macy's on 42nd Street in New York. But do you know that he started and failed at 7 businesses before he finally opened up Macy's department store there in New York on 34th Street, rather? There's a man named Harlan David Sanders. You know who that is? That's Colonel Sanders. You know Colonel Sanders? Do you know, and he's the guy that is the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken. He faced a lot of critics. He had plenty of opportunity to quit trying. In fact, this secret chicken recipe for KFC, and I love KFC, I mean, this secret recipe. Do you know he was turned down? He was rejected 1,009 times by restaurants that he tried to get them to say yes to this recipe. You know, 1,009, and on the 1,010th time, a restaurant said yes, and guess what? Now, KFC is the second largest food chain in the world, with 30,000 locations in more than 150 countries. Why? Because he tried it again. He just tried it again. He just refused to let his past become his future. Albert Einstein. Do you know Albert Einstein didn't speak until he was 4 years old? Everybody thought he was crazy, thought he was a nut. He didn't speak till he was 4 years, and he didn't read till much later in life. His teachers and his parents believed that he was mentally handicapped, that he was slow, and he was tagged as being antisocial. He was eventually expelled from school, and the college that he tried to get into refused to admit him. Albert Einstein, but later he won the Nobel Prize, and he changed the face of modern physics. Why? Because he just refused to let other people and other things determine his future. He just kept trying. He kept trying. He kept trying. How about Thomas Edison? You know, Thomas Edison's teachers told him that he was too stupid to learn anything. That's what they wrote about him, his teachers. Sorry, parents, but you need to quit sending him to school. He is too stupid to learn anything. And then as a young man, he was fired from his first two jobs. Why? Because they said he hadn't been productive enough. He was not a productive person. He just had he had no initiative, and he wasn't productive enough. But then he went on, because he kept trying, to make more than 1,000, more than 1,000 patents. But that's after he had tried more than 1,000 times to make a light bulb. Do you know he didn't make that light bulb before he had failed at trying to make it over 1,000 times? Isn't that nutty? Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill struggled in school, and he even failed the sixth grade. But he was determined to have a career in politics. Winston Churchill, he wanted to be in politics, but for many years he continued to lose. In fact, do you know Winston Churchill lost every election for public office until he finally became the Prime Minister of England? Isn't that interesting? Why? Because he kept trying. He kept entering, you know, not just him, but Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, who is the 16th was the 16th president of the United States, and he was commander in chief of our whole military of all the United States of America in one of its most critical moments. But that was not his first time in the military. He became commander in chief, but early on in life, he went to war as a captain and returned home as a private. He got demoted while he was in the military to the very lowest low you could ever be. And he went as low as he could go. But he didn't stop there. He continued to fail in business after business after business. And he was defeated many times. Let me give you a picture of Abraham Lincoln. In 1832, he ran for state legislator. He lost. In 1832, he applied for law school. He couldn't get in. 1836, Abraham Lincoln had a nervous breakdown. Do you know that he was bedridden for 6 months of his life? I guess it's because law school wouldn't let him in. 1838, he ran for Speaker of the House in his state. He lost. 1840, he tried to become an elector in his state. He lost. 1843, he ran for Congress, and he lost. In 1849, he tried to get a job as a land officer in his home state, and he got rejected. In 1854, he ran for the U.S. Senate. Guess what? He lost. In 1856, he sought for the vice presidential nomination of his party, and he got less than 100 votes. In 1858, he decided he would run for Senate again. Guess what? He lost. Do you know Abraham Lincoln lost every time he ever tried to do anything, from business to military to politics? He tried everything under the sun. Do you know that the very first time he won was when he became President of the United States of America in 1860. Wow, that's amazing. Abraham Lincoln lost 8 elections. He failed in business twice. He had a complete nervous breakdown. And then he became arguably the greatest president of the United States of America that we've ever seen, and perhaps one of the greatest leaders in the world. Why? Well, I could go on and on about him and many other success stories. But the fact of the matter is, each one of these people succeeded because they tried it again, because they kept trying it, because they kept on. They didn't allow their past. They didn't allow their bad experiences, their bad decisions, their wrong decisions, even their costly mistakes. They did not allow those things to determine their future. How about Michael Jordan? You know, Michael Jordan, he knows the price of success. Do you know he was cut from his high school basketball team? He wasn't good enough. That's what they said. Yeah. They didn't let him set him back, though. Others tried to get him to not pursue playing the game, but he loved the game, and he kept trying and kept trying. And this is what he said about himself. He said, "I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career." He said, "I've lost almost 300 games." This is Michael Jordan talking about himself. He said, "On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted by my team to take the game-winning shot and missed." He said, "I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. I tried again. Give it another shot." Listen, the pressures of life are meant to mold us, not to move us. Maybe you're undergoing some pressures right now. But don't allow the pressures of life to push you. They're supposed to mold you and make you, not move you. Don't mistake dissatisfaction for direction. Discontentment and dissatisfaction is not an indication that there is a new trail out here for you to follow. You know, greener grass is not always the answer. I was raised in an alcoholic family. I cannot tell you the number of times that my father attempted a geographical cure. When I was in the third grade, I went to the third grade in Fort Worth, Texas, in Lubbock, Texas, in Oklahoma City, in Texarkana, Texas. And then as soon as school was over, I moved again. My brother was in the 11th grade. Going to that many schools in a junior year, can you imagine how difficult that is? All because my father wanted a better day. And he was dissatisfied, he was discontent, and he was taking that dissatisfaction, that discontentment as direction. He was allowing the pressures of life to move him instead of mold him. Don't take direction from your past failures. Often, what needs to change are things inside of you, not things around you. Often, the things that need to change are not the things around you, but the things on the inside of you. If we can master those voices that speak to us and tell us that we have failed, that we have fallen short, that we've done the best we can, we've gone as far as we can, there's nothing good from here. If we cannot master those voices and put them down, if the only hope that we have is another failure because of our past experiences, we're going to allow those pressures to move us. Don't abandon what God has given you, trying to get what He has not. And another word of encouragement, don't take a temporary situation and create a permanent problem. There is nothing that you cannot outlive, outlast, and outdistance with Jesus Christ in your corner. There is nothing that can put you down and keep you down if you are willing to try it again. You may not need to change what you are doing, but simply change how you are doing it. Don't think for one moment that God does not know how you feel. Don't think for one moment that God did not have His setbacks. Don't think for one moment that God has not had His disappointments. He deals with you every day. Oh, that's funny. Okay, let me put it this way. Don't think for one moment God does not have His disappointments. Okay, nudge your neighbor there and say, yeah, he's talking about you. In fact, one of the first things that the Bible teaches us is what to do when we end up with something that we don't like. I know you have heard this message before. I've been here 37 years. It's kind of hard not to say the same thing twice. But I believe this is a word from God for you. Wherever you are in life and whatever you have faced and whatever situation you may be facing today, I want to encourage you this morning to try it again. I want to encourage you to give it your full heart one more time. I want to encourage you to not allow your disappointments to become your direction. I want you to tell yourself that you cannot afford to let failure become your future. You cannot afford to let your discontentment dictate your actions. You need to step into a new moment, a fresh moment. So many who have succeeded ahead of us have found out this truth. That if you will try it again, put God in your corner, get up, brush yourself off, and try it again. If you found me on my way to lunch today, and I had fallen, I had tripped, what would you tell me to do? You would probably ask if I'm okay. You would probably try to help me if possible. But if I just kept laying there, what would you say to me? Huh? Get up. Get up. Brush yourself off. Come on, you can do this. You can make it. I know life can be disappointing. I know that things happen beyond our control. And I know that sometimes we get angry at others who we feel like have treated us unfairly or put us into a position that we don't like. Or maybe we even feel held captive at times. But you can make it where you are. You can take what you have. You can start where you are and you can make it. You can make life better or you can make it worse. Believe me, no matter how bad it is right now, you can make it worse, but you can also make it better. You can make it better. There's something you can do. There's always something you can do to make it better. As I said, this is one of the first lessons that God taught us. Have you found the book of Genesis? The book of Genesis, chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There is no way, and there's no reason, biblical scholars would agree, there is no reason to imagine that God made the earth in some poor shape. That God made the earth in some way that He wasn't happy with it. There's no reason to believe that God made the earth defective. There's no reason to believe that God made the earth dark and without form and void. But yet when we get to verse 2, and whatever that time gap is between in the beginning and then when God begins to tell us the story of creation, whether it was 1 second, 1 minute, 1 year, 1 billion years, I don't care and we can't know. But what we do find out is that in verse 2, the Bible says that the earth was without form and void and darkness covered the face of the deep. We know that at some point God saw what He had, God saw what He made, God saw what He owned, and He did not like what He had. Have you ever gotten something you wanted and all of a sudden, you know, sometime later looked at it and realized it's not what I want. It's not like I want. You know, the earth was chaotic. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. God did not create the earth chaotic. But we understand at some point it became chaotic and dark, and God was disappointed in what he saw. He wanted something different. And so what did he do? The Bible says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That means that God moved down over the face of the waters. God moved down to the earth. He got closer to the problem. You'll never fix a problem unless you're willing to get closer to it. You'll never fix an argument. You'll never fix a relationship. You will never fix even a flat tire or a hairdo if you are not willing to get close to it. We must be willing to get closer if we're going to make any positive impact on the things we have that we want to change. Abraham Lincoln had to continue to put his name on the list. Churchill had to continue to put his name on the list. You know, Colonel Sanders had to keep going. He had to walk into another restaurant and ask them if they would try his chicken recipe. Tried it, didn't like it, rejected it. He walked out of that one and walked into another one 1,009 times. Thomas Edison had to get closer to the light bulb that didn't work to find out why it didn't work more than 1,000 times. Michael Jordan has to get another basketball in his hand or he'll never succeed, even though he had lost, 300 games and 9,000 shots he had missed. And even though that he had 26 times missed the winning shot, don't you know that in order to succeed, he had to be willing to get closer to that ball and closer to that goal? It's not rocket science. It's the truth. And then in verse 3, the Bible says, as the Spirit of God was brooding, hovering, that concept is a meditation. He was thinking, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? What do I want to do here? And he developed a plan, and then he said, let there be light, and there was light. He pulled the trigger. He made a declaration. Nothing short of the United States of America, July the 4th, 1776, made a declaration. That was not the day the war ended. It was the day the war began. It was not the day that everything was okay. It was the day that they decided we are going to be a free nation, a free people. What should we do when we experience failure? What should we do when we experience disappointment, when we are discontent, when we find ourselves with something, we have something, whether it's family or finances or job or situations of life, we have something, but it's not the way we want it, it's not what we want. What should we do when what we have is not what we want? We should do what God did. And you can't fix everything, by the way. You cannot fix everything, but you can try again. Okay? God did. God did. Think about it. He not only did it in Genesis 1:1, he did it in Genesis 5 with Noah. Okay? He was disappointed. He was discontent. The Bible says he was frustrated. He was grieved. What did he do? He tried it again. And we're told that in our future, we are told that one of the things we are looking forward to is God doing it again. He's frustrated with this world, frustrated with the way things are. And one day, he is going to do it again. He's going to try it again. You know, it looks like whenever he closed this age, he just closed the book and put it in a box somewhere, shove it in a closet and be done with it. But he's going to do it again. God's going to do it again. He's always doing it again. He is the God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. He even gives himself a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. What do we do? Number one, dream again. If you have lost your dream, if it's been shattered, disappointed, dream again. Dream again. Dream again. Number two, plan your next step. That's what God did. His Spirit hovered over the face of the water. He planned. He got a plan together. He didn't just run off, willy-nilly. But he considered, what do I want? Well, how would I make that happen? What would the next step look like? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, but a dream is not a plan. You want to dream again, but you need a plan. If you fail to plan, you can plan to fail. We need a plan. The Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters, and God got a plan together. What was he doing? He was considering his next step. What do I want? And then, after you have dreamed, dream again. You know, plan your next step, and then commit yourself. Commit yourself. Make your declaration. That's what God did. You know, we did not know what God was going to do until he said, "Let there be light." No one knew what God was going to do. Up until that moment, anything could have happened. But right at that moment, God committed himself. He pulled the trigger. He took the step. He said, "Let there be light." You know, Job 22, verse 28 says, "Declare a thing and it shall be established." There's something powerful about a declaration. And believe me, nothing changes till something changes. You've got to change what you're saying. You've got to change your declaration. You've got to convince yourself. Encourage yourself. Maybe no one else will, but make your declaration. Maybe no one else in God's world, maybe none of the angels wanted God to do anything. Maybe they were tired. Maybe they were finished. Like David, when all of his men wanted to stone him, but he stood up. One person is all it takes to stand up in the midst and to make a declaration and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." One man standing up, "Give me liberty or give me death." One man standing up, making a declaration. Do it. Just do it. Just do it. Commit yourself even if no one else is committed. And once you take a step, keep stepping. Keep stepping. God is your Father. You can afford to dream big. Don't lose the ability to dream. One of the saddest things is that a person would get up in the morning with no hope that things were going to be better. I guarantee you, if you will put Jesus in your heart, just invite him into your heart, he will make a difference. Just invite Jesus. Your next step, you know, might be the success. Could be the Abraham Lincoln becoming president. The Winston Churchill becoming prime minister. Michael Jordan making the winning shot. Try it again. Try it again. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, let me encourage you to do that now. Do it now. It will change your life and the lives of those who know you. It will help. He will not hurt. He will help. Yeah. Dream. Dream big. Dream again. Plan your next step. Give some time. Plan your next step. And then pull the trigger. Commit yourself. Make a commitment. This is what I'm going to do. And put a smile on your face and joy in your heart and go for it.
Thanks again for joining us for another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.